What's going on, guys? It's Josh Huggett here from the Vegucated Podcast. On today's episode, it is myself and my friend Jaden and Scott essentially talking about everything vegan related, really. We covered most topics. We started at my auntie's house and we moved to the Cornish Arms Hotel. We cover activism, we cover modern veganism, we cover we put a blatant advertisement that we didn't get paid for, but we're hoping that the Cornish Arms will actually pay us for it. We cover most vegan things in just a general vegan conversation. So we hope you enjoy the podcast. It is raw, it's uncut, it's exactly as it was happening, and you enter mid-conversation. So we hope you love it, we hope you enjoy it. We order beers through the episode. Thank you very much. We give away dirty dishes halfway through the episode. It's a fantastic episode. Hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you're already a subscriber. Thanks for listening. Welcome to our vegan conversation. And we are a little bit drunk.
It's not a black and white decision.
But I think some activists cause more damage.
Yeah, they 100% do. But that's it. It's a movement of compassion. Like, yeah. It's if you're shown a video on an iPad and it's and you're told it's either A or B, like it's A, you continue living the life that you've lived for the last 20 years eating meat, or B, you live this life that you don't really know much about, that's theoretically less harmful, that you don't know much about. Like, what are you going to pick? Like, with what you know, or with what's
new? Also, in the same sentence, like, I was eating meat at the time. I just dropped out of my chef's apprenticeship. I was eating meat. I was very content eating meat. I had no even thought process about not eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Gary Rofsky's speech, which talks about animal agriculture, talks about health, like he covers pretty much everything in that speech. And by the three quarters through that speech, in my mind, I'd been like, okay, I'm not.
Yeah, but Josh, I don't think you get it. Like, I know someone that knows a dairy farmer and their cows are so happy.
Yeah, but cows love being milked is and what we need to
seriously, about. How many people get told that?
Yeah,
that's if you, what, if that's you, if you want to know, if you want to know, I guess, like, the problem, go to New Zealand.
Well, that's
like New Zealand. We are terrified.
People in New Zealand love sheep,
but the whole country is built on it. It's built on this picture of a man, like of this Kiwi bloke who's a guy in a swan dry vest. He's on his ATV. He's got his border collies behind him. He's got a wide brim hat with his spates and the cup holder, and he's herding his sheep. And that's this romantic picture that New Zealanders have about their perfect, ideal, rugged southern man. And, like, anything that challenges that, they'll push back so brutally hard against it. They have Lord of the Rings, which they fucked up, because they had a whole tourism industry based around that, and they never built on it. It's like, Lord of the Rings, people forgot about Lord of the Rings, and they never had a follow-up.
Well, I think, like, with
And agriculture, and, like, the country refuses to move on that.
With that
and,
sort
like,
of
we have so many options here in Australia, and Lucy had to go back for her uncle's funeral. She's like, I had to eat Vietnamese the whole time I was there. Had to eat out Vietnamese because there's no vegan options anywhere.
That's the same here as well. To an extent. Like, fucking very much an asterisk just to an extent. Like, you can eat vegan within Australia. However, 95% of that will be Asian-based food.
But I think with what a lot of activism gets wrong is that telling people that what they did before they educate themselves is not okay. That's if you've never known better, then how can you be guilt-tripped for that? Like,
and people automatically go into defensive.
Exactly. Like, when they get shown something of, like, you say you've just come from a pub eating a steak and you're walking into Rundle Mall and you're getting shown a cow fucking getting slaughtered. Like, this is what I know to be okay, and some, like, fucking, like, pot-smoking hippies telling me it's not. Like, what's your initial reaction going to be? Like, that's, it's not productive.
So essentially,
that's what I'm talking about, the line in the same
thing. It's like with, like, my mum, like, I've gradually gotten mum off, like, pork. She's eased off some meats, but, like, it's been a very gradual process. Yeah. Like, with some people, it's quicker than others. You're not, you can't force. I guess the overalling idea is you can't force someone to do something.
If,
like, you have to massage it in.
So essentially, what the general gist is that activism itself should be more future based. Yeah. Like, when you talk to someone, it should be like, "Hey, you're fucking up." It should be more,
yeah.
"Hey, like, I did the same thing as you."
It's
like,
not. It's
if anything,
not,
eating meat before you were vegan is more of like a talking point, and more of like a good thing.
At the moment, it's you've done this wrong.
Yeah,
but it should be. You can
well,
do
it. There's a better way of doing things. Yeah.
It's more of like a Trump's "We can like make America great again." It could be like, "Hey, we can fucking we can not be shit."
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I like about some of the things that Grills are doing with some of their like fake cheeseburgers.
Yeah,
and like other places that have like transitional vegan products. Because I don't miss eating meat. I don't really like fake. I don't really like fake meat because I don't want to eat meat anymore. I like vegetables. Like, I'm not that interested in something that tastes like a product that I don't want to eat any longer. But for people who are terrified that they're going to be missing out on something, like, those fake meat products are really good. Way your dog is just fucking going to town on that.
Oh, that's a lot of humping.
Yeah.
This is also all being recorded for the podcast.
Yeah. Cool. No, it's a great way of showing people that, like, you're not missing out on shit. You can have the exact same experience.
Well, like what we had for breakfast today. Like, I had an egg and bacon McMuffin.
I found that genuinely confronting. I felt like I was doing the wrong thing.
Well, the fact that, like, we had a tuna salad, but I got halfway through my egg and bacon McMuffin.
Yeah.
And I took a bite into it, and there was a genuine, like, yolk. Like, when you cook an egg, and they have that dry, powdery yolk in it. That was in my egg and bacon McMuffin. Yeah. And for a split second, I was just kind of like, fuck. Like, I've just undone 6.5 years. I was like, what the fuck? Like, but then you've got to be like, well, no, everything at this place was vegan. Like,
it's almost to the point that, like, we put fluoride in our water and we add various additives to our bread without really telling people or asking for the consent. Like, you could almost just fill the market with meat substitutes overnight. People probably wouldn't notice the fucking difference.
Oh.
And then 2 years down the track, you could tell them, and no one would care.
No. But, well, there would be that slight portion of, like, fuck everything.
Oh, we've been lied to.
Yeah.
We've been tricked into eating vegetables.
Yeah.
Like, the bastards tricked
us into
eating vegetables.
It's like I saw these people, like, now that Victoria and, like, these, and all the other states are slowly bringing in the no plastic bags at shopping centres thing.
No. Pretty much
are you serious?
But now that all these other places are bringing this no plastic bags rule, I saw all these comments on the threads being like, I don't want to be forced to be, like, environmental. I'm just going to throw my bags out there. It's kind of like, really?
Well, fuck you. Yeah.
Like,
I hope you don't have children.
Yeah. Well, essentially, yeah. But, that's not my place to judge. But...
Well, they're ruining the future for their children, aren't they? Like, deliberately and consciously doing it.
Consciously ruining it. But I don't think there would be a situation where we could just switch out all animal products for vegan products and there'd not be a consequence for our actions.
And I only think that is because of the economical impact that would have. You can't just remove... It's like transitioning from fossil fuel energy to renewable energy. You can't just cancel fossil fuels one day and be like, all of our power is going to come from the sun now. Because it means that like half the country won't have power for a bit. But we can't just shut down the dairy and meat industry now because it means that a lot of people won't have food.
No. There's a toxic assumption that people that do A, which is consuming animal products, think that that is the better way than B.
We were designed to eat.
Yeah. Like, you can't...
Lucy put something to my mum, right? I thought it was fucking genius. Because my mum was like, oh, we were designed to eat meat. It's like, you go walk up to a cow and eat it with your bare hands.
You
walk up to a cow and consume it. Like, a lion walks up to a cow and it's armed, it's physically armed with the equipment to kill it, dissect it, process and consume it.
Yeah.
If you walk up to a cow with your bare hands, like, you probably won't even be able to catch it, let alone eat it.
And even if you did,
You could just fucking cuddle it for a minute before it broke away from you.
You could probably, like, take a bite out of it and kick it in the head.
I'd bite my fingernails. I'm fucked. Like, there's...
And then, like, you eat, like, a bit of chicken that's a bit on the fence. You get salmonella. You're just fucked. And you're shooting blood. And...
But I'm so carnivorous.
I have canines.
I was designed for this.
Yeah. I just wheel yourself through it.
This is the natural order. I have canines... But I found a bone in my chicken nugget.
Good times.
No. It's fucked.
Do we have to leave?
We do have to leave. I'm going to pause this episode. And then we're going to reconvene after another beer at the corner shop.
You know what?
What are you talking about?
We're talking about...
Okay, so my argument is that... perhaps veganism as a whole needs to be more black and white. You either are or not. Mm-hmm. And I think by definition, like regardless of your reasons for getting behind it, whether it's an ethics thing or it's a health-based thing, you know, you are either vegan or you're not vegan. Like, you either eat meat and dairy products or you don't eat meat and dairy products.
But how far do you take it? Is it you don't eat meat and dairy products, you also don't buy products that are tested on animals, but you also don't go to the zoo, but you also don't buy affiliate products that, like, a mother company has that then... Umbrella, so like,
doesn't that then come back to our early conversation about like McDonald's and stuff, though? Talking about affiliate corporations, though.
To an extent, but it's like a fact of necessity versus non-necessity. Like, yeah, I need to, like, I almost need to go to, like, yes, I could go and buy purely from fruit and veg shops that are entirely vegan, which is also in itself very hard because most of them have delis, but like, yes, I could go to an entirely vegan fruit and veg shop. Then I could also go to an entirely vegan store and buy the yogurt, which would then completely nullify buying anything from any product that was ever had any profit of animal exploitation. But at some point, it's kind of like, this doesn't make sense. Like, I'm going to such extents where I could be promoting vegan options within a larger corporation.
So you're saying that there are... When you're making a transaction, I guess there's two considerations. Like, is the product that I'm buying vegan? Or is the purchasing decision that I'm making and the company that I'm buying it from being vegan?
Exactly. I would go to Hungry Jack's or McDonald's and buy a vegan option. And I would encourage other people to go to those places and buy those options purely so that they're more promoted, and so these larger corporations are encouraged to incorporate these dishes. Like, yes, like McDonald's tomorrow could come out with a vegan burger, and then, but if everybody boycotted it purely because it was McDonald's, then they're not going to do anything about it. And they're one of the largest retailers.
It's better to be on the radar commercially as a vegan, then just not be on the radar at all.
Mm. Do you think it's more... Because at the end of the day, we're still buying food. Like, a finite amount of food gets purchased every day, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of where you buy it from a multinational conglomerate or you buy it from the corner shop, like, a finite amount of food still gets bought. So it's like that purchasing decision, whether you make it at Domino's or McDonald's or Hungry Jack's or you make it at Smith & Deli, it still has, I guess, a similar kind of impact. But do you think... Do you think it has more of an impact supporting organizations that support the meat and agriculture industry as it is now, that have vegan options, is more beneficial than having a stance like South Australia has as a state, where we have historically been quite standoffish against from franchise companies anyway? So, like, as a state, we're quite unique that until very recently we didn't have a grilled, do we have a Starbucks?
We had one and then it got rid of it.
It's part of the culture of the state is that we are very much, you go to your corner grocer.
We accept as a group mentality.
You go to a little shop.
Yeah.
Like, should we maybe get behind that mentality and try and push that more nationwide? Or should we embrace these corporations to try and change the purchasing decisions by buying from Domino's and supporting them when they come into the state? It's a really hard balance.
I think it's a real... almost 50-50. Like, yeah, let's support the fuck out of big corporations incorporating more vegan-based options so that we can bring it more to the masses. Like, the only way that it's really ever going to become, like, mainstream or, like, a modern dietary, like, option is if these mainstream places actually start incorporating it in everyday menus. But at the exact same time, we should be encouraging these smaller businesses, these smaller places to have these options, because then we can, like, encourage an entirely cruelty-free business.
I think it'd be great if places like Smith and Jelly had more, like, publicity, maybe not around what they do, but, like, what we're talking about when you're standing there and you're looking at the foot traffic, about how popular they are.
People want this, mate. Veganism isn't going to be a thing without the support of big business, because at the end of the day, current vegans are people that want to make the change and proactively do it and put their time and effort into doing it, but there's always going to be a subsection that like the idea, but they can't really be fucked because it's an effort. You have to become an effort.
Your mum.
It is hard to do.
It is very hard to do, but it's any big trade that's got to be convenient. Big business provides convenience.
Yeah.
I like Hungry Jack's and the veggie lot because it's fucking convenient.
Well, we just have to think about, like, what the 6.5 years that I've been doing, the 5.5 that you've been vegan. There wasn't anything.
Yeah.
Like, when we first did it, you had to do it purely passion-based. You couldn't, like, we had a fucking horrendous chickpea burger that we could buy from Coles that tasted like drywall. And if you didn't drown it in gravy, you were thirsty after drinking. And it would suck. So, like, it was purely a passion.
You have to really, really be behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
The first vegan meal we ever had out, after we went vegan, we went to the Barker at Mount Barker, and it's like Meat Central. We went there and, like, I ended up making this meal out of, like, a side of olives, and I got 2 burger buns and ordered the wedges, and I made, like, a wedges sandwich. Ended up, like, making a really nice meal out of all the other crap they had on the menu, but it's really fucking hard, like.
Well, it was it, like, 5.5, 6.5, doesn't matter, like, I reckon anything over 3 years ago, there was sweet F all on the market.
Yeah.
Like, you were working with horrendous chickpea patties, other health-based foods, whereas now there's more of a, like, choice in your options. Like, yeah, if you want to become vegan for whatever reason, there are options for those reasons. Like, you can be a health-based vegan, and there are health-based foods out there for it. If you wanted to be an animal rights-based vegan and not buy into animal products, but still enjoy, like, those, like, buying a schnitzel, buying bacon, buying fucking veggs or whatever, there's those options out there. It's just, it's much larger now. And because it's so much larger, it's also become harder to define it. So now that it's grown to such a large extent that there are all these other options, there's not a definite definition of the word vegan like it used to be.
I think it's interesting. I refer to my mum's generation as the TV generation.
Yeah.
They're very submissive and they do what they're told. The thing is, I guess our generation do kind of question those rules that we're brought up with, and we try and incite change where we can. But I find what's really exciting for me, anyway, is that, like, as parents, the generation that we're raising, what are these next guys? Like, even looking at, like, my cousin, who's, like, 8 years younger than me, there's such, like, progressive and collective voices of change that just refuse to accept the things that they've been told their whole lives. And it makes me really excited thinking that we're raising a whole generation of these people who will make these kind of decisions. Like, no, I don't want to buy meat. I just would rather eat a nice bowl of vegetables.
Yes, of course. And it's about, it's a hard thing to sort of educate on, because, like, I don't see any value on shitting on my past. Like, I was raised a meat eater, and, like, my dad was raised through the slums of England eating, like, pickled pork and fucking, basically having, like, you had scurvy. And, like, you can't criticise that, but, like, sort of trying to show my little girl, like, this is better than you can be kinder than I was when I was your age. And animals are more fun when they're alive than when they're dead. You can tap them and you can hug them and they grow bonds like we do. And like it's, I just feel and have felt for such a long time that it's about showing a lifestyle that's better than what you currently have. Not necessarily in, I guess, a lot of people have, it's, I'm not better than you, but I guess I've sort of seen a more advantageous way. I don't know.
Yeah. But I see it in the way that my sister, she's 17 now. And she is, like, she's vegetarian now. And I remember when I was my sister's age, being almost, like, shamed. Being vegetarian, like, you didn't eat meat, you were, it was a bit weird, it was a bit, like, frowned upon.
I was probably one of those people as well, who gave,
I was a, like, flexitarian, quote-unquote, like, I was vegetarian, then I wasn't, and I was, and I wasn't, like, and in those intermittent stages, like, you give the other person shit, but, like, my sister now at 17 is more... Yeah, she copped shit because veganism becomes like a meme, and it's memeable, and people like make jokes about it. But apart from that, it's not like genuine questions. And like we were saying before, like before we even started recording, it was like, yeah, now, like before when we first went vegan, you could say like, oh yeah, no, I'm not going to eat that because I'm vegan. And people were like, oh, why, etc. And I'd ask genuine questions, whereas now it's like laughed upon, like you say that you don't eat it because of X reason, and it's like a meme. People laugh about it. And people talk down upon it. But like in some ways, it's easier because of that, because it's more like mainstream now, quote unquote. It's easier, but it's also like you get laughed at more. Like, yeah, it was hard being vegan 6 years ago because there wasn't any options, but nobody gave a shit about it.
I think it's hard that it gets, like, associated with, like, quote-unquote hipster culture as well. Because I've heard some new people sitting next to me at work, and I'm, like, eating my salad or whatever, and like, oh, it's in there. I'm like, oh, it's these eight different types of vegetables. They're like, oh, is there no meat? Like, no, I'm a vegan. And they're like, what? Like, because I look like a normal, regular person. Like,
yeah.
They make the assumption that I don't have a...
Do you guys
have
government
job? Aussie lager.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Such a tint of staff here at the Cornish Arms.
Cornish Arms Hotel in Brunswick, Victoria. Sydney Road, Brunswick. If anybody listens, I'd love a paid mention.
Saturday, Sunday, all day menu.
Saturday, Sunday, all day menu.
Very accommodating stuff.
Very good Kim Jong Trump portrait on the back wall.
It is quite.
And heaters that you can work with.
Except, unless you can't pull more than 70 kilos.
Yeah, oh,
or two-thirds of your body weight.
Hey, I just felt like I was going to pull them off. So masculine. I eat so much soy.
Stop in science works, get your physiological analytics, just gauge what kind of person you are and make your decision.
And if you're right, you can turn on the heat.
If you can't, then perhaps you come to the Cornish Arms and ask for some assistance with the heat.
That's the stuff, very complicated.
But one thing.
6 years ago,
okay.
You could go vegan.
Yeah.
People, it was hard because there wasn't the options, but you wouldn't cop flack for it. People were like, oh, I could never do that. Oh, that seems a bit too hard. 6 years forward, my sister's now vegetarian. It's heaps easier to go like vegetarian or vegan because there are so many options. However, there's more of the social pressure and the social mocking of not being vegetarian or vegan. Like, there's all this bacon culture, burger culture, there's all this other social influence, like social prejudice almost towards, like, if you don't eat meat, ugh, you're a meme, you're laughable, we can make jokes about you because of this.
I find the difference between, and you know, I use New Zealand and Australia as an example all the time, but like
you can
particularly Victoria and South Australia.
You've got an accent, you can tell what you want.
I'm ethnic.
You're not from here.
I'm not. Mostly documented alien.
You speak for all New Zealand, so just to make sure.
As the appointed representative of New Zealand.
More or less Prime Minister.
It's amazing how different it is. in terms of accessibility and accepting culture here.
Thank you.
Versus like going, like I said, going back to New Zealand, your only option is eating Vietnamese food.
Mm.
Because it's an entire country that's built and bred and based off it, and any threat to the establishment is terrifying to people. One thing, what I wanted to say is, one thing I love about being a vegan now, especially being a recent dad, is I think as kids, everybody grows up loving animals.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you ask, why do we eat them? I don't remember my conversation, but I'm certain that at some point I've asked my parents, why do we eat these animals and not these animals? And I've just become conditioned to accept that that's okay. And had that kind of love, not love of animals, broken out of me, but I've kind of had it conditioned into me that there's a line between these animals are okay to eat, but I won't eat my cat and my dog.
Yeah.
Well, and I love that with Robbie. I don't have to ever have that conversation. Like, I don't have to be a hypocrite. I don't have to say, you know, he loves animals. We took him to the Forever Farm, like the sanctuary, all the old dairy animals. And he was like playing with the pigs and playing with the goats, and he just loves them so much. And I never have to have that conversation with him, like, hey, do you know you actually are responsible for these animals dying and you eat them?
But, like, that's never brought up. That's why there's these different names. Like, you don't sit down.
You don't eat a pig, you eat pork.
You don't eat for a pig dinner, you eat a pork dinner, you eat bacon. Like, it's like fucking there's a word for it, where they, it's
cognitive dissonance.
There you go.
We basically create mental barriers
between
your brain
different things.
Justify decisions. Basically poor decisions.
Yeah. Like, you're not eating a pig, so when you see a pig, you see a pig.
Yeah.
When you see bacon, you see bacon. You don't look at bacon and see a pig. Which is why there's all this uproar between, like, vegan alternatives being called things that are closely associated to the things that the people so closely to the heart. Like, you can't call it fake bacon.
You can't call it mince.
Like,
so
can't call it plant-based milk.
Yeah.
Because milk comes from a cow.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
And boobies.
And boobs. And Bob.
Bob.
Just shout out.
Cow and Bob. Cow Bob.
Cow
but,
Bob.
Like, there's a whole different... Like, that's why it's called breast milk.
How
and
would you
then,
say
and just milk.
On a dairy farm.
Like,
he's getting boxes of cows.
You know? And bacon versus pig. And lamb versus baby sheep. And
veal was my favourite one.
Yeah, veal.
Yeah, you fucking even know.
That's a baby cow that's never been able to walk. No,
yeah, like...
It's not veal.
Yeah.
It's not what it is.
Fuck, and it's... Like, it even goes into the advertising. Fucking... You look at dairy advertising. You look at fucking meat industry advertising. All you see, if that... Like, most of the time they don't show what it actually comes from. They just show what it is. Like, they will show you an already cut, portioned... doesn't look anything like an animal's slice of meat, opposed to a cow, and then, like...
My favourite one is when they try and promote the healthy environment that the animals grow up in. Like, I think if you have to have something, like cage versus free range, I guess is a good example. If it has to exist, then obviously free range is a better option.
Yeah.
But what I hate is free range being used as an excuse. So, like, oh, look at these chickens, they're like... roaming free in the paddocks, and then we cut their heads off and, like, shave them down and serve them to you in a little packet. Like,
they last for 6 months, and then they go through the exact same thing that the other chickens went through.
At least they get to hop around in the paddock for a bit. Like.
Mm.
Okay, that is admittedly better than the god-awful fucking barbaric Matrix-esque shit that they go through as cage chickens.
Well, that's like the fucking RSPCA-approved chicken.
The dead ones.
Yeah.
The RSPCA was never approved.
The RSPCA approved beak, the RSPCA approved fucking whatever. Like, yeah, cool. It's not as cruel. It's not as cruel as a generic factory farm, but they're still fucking dead. They still had their throats lit. They're not alive anymore. It's not getting any better for them.
Is it, does anyone know lifespan of a chicken? What's the natural life?
Like 20 years.
Is it really?
The natural lifespan of a chicken. That is such a guess.
I think that is indicative of the culture that all of us are raising. I think it's more the fact that, who knows?
Yeah,
like,
the fact that we don't know how long a chicken lasts shows. Do you know what's also a scary statistic?
I'm not sure they've got bobs.
Chicken. Bob chicken. Bob
and leggies.
And leg chicken.
All legs and bobs.
The chickens have a gym.
Roosters don't.
Roosters don't. But do you know what's also a very scary statistic?
What?
How long have you theoretically had a goldfish live in your life? That lasts like a year, maybe two. If you're lucky.
In my life personally, no. In Tara's life. Forever as far as I'm
concerned. But like, you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, they live like 6 months, maybe a year, and then they die, and then you flush them down the toilet. And then all you have to do is Google how long a goldfish would naturally last.
Yeah.
And it was fucked. It was like 7 years.
A while?
Yeah.
I think, not to brag about it,
but I had a goldfish living for like 18
as
years.
As a goldfish.
He's still got it. He's at university now.
He's
studying to become a vet.
I just looked it up, by the way. 11 years.
It's a chicken.
It's a chicken. For fucking 11 years. We killed him, what, 6 weeks?
Have you seen, like, all you have to do is look at the photo of, like, a natural chicken and, like, a fed chicken.
How many chickens do you think have died of natural causes because of old age? Like
six?
Yes.
Maybe seven?
Are they the ones that escape and somehow get out into the forest?
They're the ones that end up...
There's a movie about that, Chicken Run.
Is that a documentary?
Yeah, that was a David
It's a clay-based
David Attenborough special.
It's a clay-umentary.
But even that, 11 years.
Could I get a... sorry.
Yeah.
Can I get another beer long?
It's just, like, I didn't know that number. When you ever taught that number.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
chickens live from the time it takes them to get fat enough to get in the truck and go down the freeway to the processing.
Down Port Wakefield.
I have to drive past these fucking things every day.
Ah.
And one of them rolled, like, a couple of weeks ago. And everyone was like, oh, is the driver okay? I don't fucking care. Like, I think 12 chickens died.
Yeah.
12 lives ended. And someone got a grazed arm or some shit.
It wasn't even that long ago that one of these trucks fell over and everyone was like, oh my god, are the animals okay? It's like, they were on their way to fucking slaughter.
They're not okay.
Like,
probably better off.
They were on their way to dying.
We die quicker.
Yeah. It just, like, cut the suffering in half because I didn't have to drive all the way to Port Wakefield.
Yeah.
Which, for those people that aren't in Australia, is like, an hour.
They still won't. They won't get used to food either. The ones who die.
Yeah. But like, I was like, oh my god, the animals! Oh my god, what suffering! Oh my god, how could they do this? That fucking driver! How dare he tip the truck? What an asshole!
I'm pretty confident the driver didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, one, the driver didn't do it on purpose. Yeah, he's probably just trying to pay his job. Like, he's earning his fucking minimum wage to pay his fucking family, which is like a whole another fucking spectrum of people that work in slaughterhouses for minimum wage, people either, like, but there's a whole psychological fucking thing there. That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
This is more of a
rambling. Can you take the glass?
Ooh, all right. Fucking glass boy.
Bottle.
But, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, those poor animals. They must have suffered so much by you in that turned over truck. It's like, think about 35 minutes in the future when they were in a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
It's like they were on their way to die. The only thing that happened is they died a little bit sooner, and they weren't strung up by their feet. You know? I don't know. But is activism fixing this, or is it like back to the fucking education over activism?
I think, and again, education can be done through activism. Have you guys ever heard of something called Havoc and Newsboy? I don't know if it came to Australia. It was two guys in New Zealand, and they did this kind of like, they were kind of like Hamish and Andy back in the mid-90s. And they were just like...
Hamish and Andy weren't in the mid-90s.
No, but they were like Hamish and Andy, but in New Zealand in the mid-90s.
Oh, in New Zealand in the mid-90s.
Yeah, and they were just kind of like jokes.
Different country, different decade.
Yeah, they never really did anything.
We're stretching here.
They never did anything kind of too serious. And then just one day, randomly, they broke into a battery chicken farm.
Oh.
And they broadcast that on their thing. And it's like the first time that a lot of people got to see what it looks like.
Mm.
Now, that is kind of what I guess, what I was campaigning against earlier. Like, I would deem that to be extremist activism. But it also educated a lot of people as to that's where your food comes from.
People doesn't, like, when have you ever learned
that? Yeah. And that was the first time I was exposed to it. I had no fucking idea that's the conditions they were raised in. Because I never really questioned it. It's like, here's chicken running around, and then I'm eating something on my plate, which is apparently called chicken as well. I don't really think of how I get
But you're also never taught to question it.
Yeah.
At what point in any of your education are they gone, hey, this is what we're told to tell you. Maybe you should do some of your own research into the situation. You're essentially sat there being like, this is what we are told to tell you. This is what you have to live by. Continue. Like, continue the system that is everything.
Yeah.
You know? I was never taught to. Just like I was never taught about evolution.
And when they do try to educate people, it's so arbitrary. Like, going back to the RSPCA certified things, that's sort of like saying that up until this point, we could have been doing better. And everyone else that's not RSPCA certified isn't doing enough. So either way, they're basically saying that there's a problem here.
Yeah.
And it's,
we've made it slightly better.
Yeah, allegedly.
Here's the issue. We've made a slight impact.
We're also making the assumption that the RSPCA is any good for anything. Like, I got a cat from the RSPCA. It was riddled with fucking cat flu and on death's door.
They're board run by farmers that financially benefit from exploiting animals.
But
that RSPCA.
But all you have to do is look at all of the quote unquote scientific fucking experiments that are taken about the dairy industry, like all of the adverts that are rolling out now in Australia because of like the declining, like not as many people are buying dairy. So there's all of these adverts at the moment. You're like, you need dairy. If you don't have dairy, like.
It's really interesting you mention that. I feel like in the last couple of weeks, or maybe the last 6 weeks, they've really ramped it the fuck up.
Because there's been, well,
like, massively. And there was an article in Current Affairs the other day as well that kind of caught my attention.
And there's all this, like, anti-vegan propaganda that's going out.
But I don't feel like anyone's buying it, though. I don't feel like it's having any impact. People just see through
very weak.
Right?
My bones have been feeling very weak.
Yeah? Are you going to get arrested for child neglect like those people?
Yeah.
God knows how many fucking years
fuck
ago.
You
see like, my child. She just stands up straight and just folds over like a deck chair.
My child's like 2 years old and he's almost as heavy as me. Like, he's a fucking unit. If I could feed him less, I would. But vegetables have turned him into a little Brock Lesnar.
I picked up chickpeas the other day and I broke all over. I am...
You're brittle bones.
I am brittle
my
bones.
My calcium deficiency. Where do you get your protein, Josh?
I get my protein from a fat, juicy, pita-free steak.
Nice.
No.
I just go out into the paddock myself and I just consume the live cow.
No, you can't do that. That's not vegan. But if you bought it from a RSPCA approved...
It's suddenly okay.
It's suddenly okay.
But not just chasing it down on foot and jumping on it and just gnawing it until it
dies.
Oh, no,
don't do that. That's...
like animals actually do in the wild.
No. We don't do that. But yeah. I don't know.
You'd sprain an ankle.
It would sprain.
Least. And then once you got to the cow, you'd probably hurt your fingers. And then
do you bite your nails? Because if you do, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I bite my nails.
I bite my nails too.
I am dodging.
Doesn't cutlery kind of prove the point that, like, I love the argument of, like, we were designed to eat meat. But, like, we have these knives and forks to break up all the stuff because we can't chew it out with our teeth. Like,
no, aversion.
If we were designed to do this, like, why do we have knives and forks?
Even before that, the aversion to raw meat is the best. Like,
yeah.
You can't eat raw chicken.
But the fact that you have to
cook. But I'm an omnivore.
I'm designed to do this.
The acid in my stomach will break down that bacteria. No, it won't.
You'll get salmonella.
You may die.
Yeah.
You'll get salmonella and shit yourself to death.
Yeah.
It's literally like the fact that they had to start cooking everything on a fire to get rid of 90% of like what was actually in the meat so that they wouldn't die.
Yeah.
Is the crux of all vegan arguments.
Who knows?
The invention of the hot plate was the beginning of veganism.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be my new tagline. I'm going to make a bumper sticker about it.
Do you like a good bumper sticker?
I think that's the end of this episode.
Sick.
I'm going to end this one here.
Good conversation.
Do you have any last words?
I'd just like to thank the Cornish Arms.
Yeah, Cornish Arms Hotel.
Yeah.
On Sydney Road, Brunswick.
And Dimbly.
And Dimbly for holding us. For putting up with our ranting. That's it.
Sick.
Bye. Fish aren't animals.